Well, welcome to another episode of A Little Ray of Sunshine, inspirational stories from everyday people. Today I have with me a very special guest, and his name is Matthew Chafee. Welcome, Matthew.
Hi.
Glad you're here with me. I've known Matthew for many, many years, more than 20.
Yeah, at least. Because I'm 38 now, so.
Okay. And I had the awesome opportunity of being your scoutmaster when you were just a youngster.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. So
yeah, it was.
I have great memories of that. Yeah. So, Matthew, I've asked you to be part of this podcast today because I feel you have an amazing story that started basically from birth. From my understanding, you were born with a medical condition that I won't even try to slaughter the name. I'll just let you kind of talk about that.
Yep. It's called pyloric stenosis. And what that means is when a baby eats food, the food goes down through and then gets into the stomach and then goes from the stomach to the intestines. And for babies like me, when it goes from the stomach to the intestine, it doesn't go down there, so they end up puking it back up, and then along with that, it causes stomach ulcers as well, and so I couldn't put on weight as a baby.
And when you say you couldn't put on weight, what was, I mean, kind of describe
I mean, I was born at 8 pounds, from what I understand, and okay. So I dropped down to 5 pounds, and they had to feed me through a tube and everything, so...
Okay. So how did that affect you growing up?
After I think 1 or 2 years old, it goes away. So, by that time, everything was good. But at the age of 4 months old, I was only 8 pounds. So from what my mom was telling me, so.
And did that stay with you?
No, the ulcers went away.
All right. So it didn't affect your childhood?
No. I've always had a healthy appetite, so definitely constantly eating.
I know you, and you can eat well, but you never seem to gain any weight.
Yeah, never can gain weight.
Never can. And I wish I had that problem.
Right? Everybody does. And I was, after I got burned, they diagnosed me with lipodystrophy. Okay. And what that means is I can't create my own fat cells.
Okay. And is that a new diagnosis?
13 years is all I've known it, really. And so I'll have a stomach flu, drop 5 pounds, and it takes me 10 years to get it back.
10 years to gain that five pounds back.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. So it gets really, really unhealthy, I guess, if I get sick, whereas for you.
So Matt, you mentioned a second ago about being burned. I remember that day. I remember hearing about it. I remember visiting you in the burn center in Utah. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Right.
But I was wondering if you would talk to our listeners a little bit about what happened. And then once we kind of go through that day, okay. We'll talk about how things are for you now.
December 9th, 2009 is when I had a grand mal seizure. And the best way I can explain it is kind of like on steroids. I went to the bathtub, turned the water on straight hot, sleepwalking, turned the water on straight hot, sat down in the tub and burned 51% of my body all the way up to about mid-back. And the brunt of my burns got onto my feet. And about 4 months into my recovery, they had to amputate both feet because they either told me that I would want to keep them and be wheelchair bound, or I could get them amputated and then get on prosthetics and be a lot more mobile. And so for me, it wasn't really hum-hawing, I guess, in what the decision was. I just take the legs so I can be more mobile and more active in my life. So,
kind of a decision was that for you? How did you make that?
It wasn't really hard for me to make. It was just like, okay, this needs to be done. Let's just go on and get it done. And then we'll move on from there.
How long were you in the tub unconscious?
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. And then I was in the bathtub for 5.5 minutes.
And in 5.5 minutes, the water was so hot.
Yep. And that's any regular water heater.
I see.
So when you put your hands in hot water, you're like, oh, that hurts. I'll pull back now. For me, being in the seizure, completely incoherent, I was like, oh, okay, let's put my hands down in this and I got to take a bath. And so I never put my hands out because I didn't feel that sensation of pain.
You couldn't feel how hot the water was.
No. Cognitively, I was not there.
And you said how long you were you in the tub?
5.5 minutes.
Okay.
And then after the seizure, the initial seizure happened, I was out for 4 hours.
Was anybody home at the time that this happened?
No. I woke up and I lifted my bed sheets and noticed that there was a bunch of blood under my sheets. And so I called my dad. And then my dad called my mom and mom called the ambulance. And by the time she got to the house, the ambulance was there. And then they gave me enough pain meds that I completely forgot about all the pain.
So by then, by the time they arrived, you were starting to feel the effects.
Yes.
Of the burns.
Yeah, yeah. I remember screaming. I just don't remember the pain.
So you said it burnt
51%
of your body. And so it wasn't just your feet. Was it your legs, your arms, your back?
under my thighs, and then mid-back. And then I lost 2 fingers on my left hand. And then I've got burns on my elbows and then on the tops of my wrists.
Okay. So a horrific day.
Yeah.
One of those days that you look back on, you wonder how you even made it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they put me in a medically induced coma down there in Salt Lake for 2.5 weeks. The biggest thing I remember down there, I woke up Christmas Day and Mom and Dad and Josh and Whitney were opening presents for me. And I looked at them and I was like, why can't I open these presents myself? What's happened here? And then shortly thereafter, I went right back to sleep. Because they had me on so many pain meds that they were knocking me out left and right. So
the day I visited you, I remember vividly that when I walked into the room, you had the biggest smile on your face. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You were just grinning from ear to ear like life is great. Where did that smile come from?
I've always had that smile. I've had issues most of my life with either my weight or my body being disformed in some way that I've had to learn how to figure out how to be upbeat about things rather than wallow in pity, I guess.
Wow. Yeah, truly remarkable. It really is. It really is. How have you been able to maintain that?
There have been some days that have been bad, don't get me wrong, but for the most part, if I didn't have the support system where I have my parents, my brother, and my sister, living with my brother, and anytime I have any issues, we just lean on each other and get each other through those things.
And just a few moments ago when you came to my house and I opened the door, and you needed a little bit of help getting up the steps into my front door, and that was an honor for me.
Well, thank you.
It really was to be able to put my arm out there and help you up those steps. Because, you know, I don't know, and a lot of people don't know the different struggles that people go through when they're wearing prosthetics.
Yeah.
We just kind of don't
understand. For you, going up a flight of stairs is really easy, but for me, I have to put my entire body into going up the stairs. Going down is a little bit easier, but upstairs is a lot different.
How high up do your prosthetics go?
They are 2 inches below my kneecap, basically.
Okay. Another thing I remember, Matt, see if you remember this as well. I was talking to you some time ago about the prosthetics and how you felt about it. And again, that big smile come across your face, just like now. And you said, hey, I got to look on the bright side. Now I'm 2 inches taller.
Yeah.
You remember saying
that? Yep. Yeah, and I can be any height that I want. If I want to be 6'5", I can be 6'5".
How do you do that?
They just take basically a pipe and heighten me through that way and extend it through the prosthetic itself.
Interesting. How tall do you want to be?
Right about where I'm at is realistically where I want to be, and I'm at 5'9", roughly. So, right there is just about perfect.
Yeah, I noticed you were about looking me straight in the eyes when you walked in. That's pretty cool.
I thought about being like the Grim Reaper, like a 6'5" Grim Reaper, for Halloween.
Can you extend them? And
getting up off of the ground and off of a seat, being taller is a lot different. So that becomes an issue if I get too tall.
How long did it take you to get used to walking with those two prosthetics?
Not too long. The biggest difference between before and now is that it's 10 pounds of extra added weight, and right now I weigh 95 pounds with my prosthetics on. So if I lift my, say, my right leg, I feel that difference every single day.
Is this the most you've ever weighed?
No, the most I ever weighed was 107, I believe, mm-hmm. when I was like 23 years old. And I was taking 3 protein shakes a day and eating 6,000 calories a day. And,
yeah. And that was just to maintain?
Yeah, that was to try and gain muscle because being unable to create my own fat cells, I had to gain straight muscle through that without the luxury of being able to feed on a fat supply that I already had.
Well, there's one thing I know about you, and it doesn't seem like you do wallow in pity. It just doesn't seem like that. But I'm sure there have been tough days.
Yeah, yeah.
There have been tough days for you, right?
Yeah.
And how have those tough days, how do you get through those?
There were 2 times down in Salt Lake that I remember. One of the days they were doing bandage changes, and the pain was just getting to me that day. I started bawling. And I felt so bad for crying in front of everybody. And they said, no, it's normal. You should be feeling something like this every once in a while. And then I got down into the rehab unit and I cried down there once. And for me, you make those days to kind of release that negative energy and then move on. And then keep on going with your life and look at the bright side of things instead of all negativity.
Oh, that's such a great message. What are the bright things for you in your life right now?
Before I loved target shooting, I still love doing that. I just have to be a little bit more creative on how I do things like camping. Getting up and down off of the ground for me is a whole lot different than it was before. I have to have help. If I do, it takes a whole lot more physical energy for me to get up off of the ground.
So having gone through your life with different physical issues that you've been working through, how has that affected you with any other areas of your life? This physical part, how has that affected other areas of your life?
I've always been teased and laughed at from my being skinny and not being able to play sports like a lot of the other kids. So that gave me kind of a toughness that most of the other kids didn't have. So when I finally did get burned, it wasn't quite as bad, I think, as it would be for somebody else, I don't think.
I hear you say that, and it almost brings tears to my eyes. It does, because your life and your soul is just as much worth as anybody else's.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of your ability to play sports or not.
Right.
Because I know Matt Chafee and I know what's inside in that heart of yours. And if other people knew that, there would be no teasing.
Right, right.
There would be none of that.
And when you're able to point that out, most people sit back and say, oh, crap, I'm being stupid here. But in the moment, I mean, as kids and this is where I think we need to kind of teach our children to treat everybody with respect.
For sure. It doesn't matter what one looks like on the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
It matters not. What matters is what's on the inside.
And I had a really bad back in high school. And I kind of basically looked like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And there were a couple of kids in one of my classes that kept calling me a vulture. And that was really the only time, and they started throwing markers at me as well, same 2 kids, but that was really the only time when I ever felt like I wanted to get away from school and stop.
And just drop out.
Yeah.
Has any of this ever caused you to be depressed or have any other thoughts?
Recently I've had anxiety attacks, and I'm realizing that a lot of those anxiety attacks are caused from my childhood and from people teasing me. And so now I've learned to start sticking up for myself and start saying, hey, you know, I don't like you teasing me on my weight, or I don't like you teasing me on my back. You can tease me pretty much on anything else, but those physically, I don't want to be teased.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think
yeah.
The fact that you're now standing up for yourself, yeah. that's probably long overdue.
Yeah, yeah, 38 years old it is.
But doesn't that feel good?
Yeah, it does, yeah. It was very liberating when I started doing that. And that first time that I made that plunge, it was scary at first, but then I did it, and it was a wash of confidence, I guess.
And I can see that confidence in you. But that smile, I just can't, I just can't get over the fact that through it all, you just have this glowing personality.
Yeah.
You really do.
Well, thank you.
Maybe somebody's already told you that. And I don't think I'm the first person to tell you that.
No, no. And before, that was the interesting thing too, is people would tell me, you're so strong. And I would look at myself, and my picture and view of strong was seeing somebody like my dad, who's a bigger guy, 6'3", and can lift these big 12-inch steel pipes over his shoulder and go throughout his day like nothing. And here I am. I can't even bench press 150 pounds, and I didn't validate myself that way.
How did you validate yourself, Matt?
I never did. I had no self-confidence before. Now I look back at my life, and I see the resilience of what I've done and what I've been through, and I'm like, wow, I am pretty strong.
You really are. What do you consider some of your major accomplishments in life?
Being able to have compassion for people, even when others are making fun of me, I guess.
That is a major accomplishment.
I don't know.
You've been employed, and do you work right now?
Yeah, yeah. That was a big thing right after as well. I just wanted to be wanted in the world again, where I mattered. And so I started applying for work again, and I didn't want to be one of those people that sucked off of the system and collected disability. I wanted to go out, and I got a job at a hotel, and I work at a front desk. And for those people that have a little bit of, they're willing to ask me about my burns, I'm more than happy to tell them about my story and what I've done. And that's how I can kind of go on and do what I can do. And now I think I'm going to try and go into psychology and try and help people.
Fantastic.
And give back.
I think you'd do very well in that, Matt. I really do.
Well, thank you.
So let's picture for a moment, there's a child today that for some reason is being picked on. It's being bullied, being teased for whatever reason. And let's say that he was sitting right here in the seat I'm in. What would you say to him?
I was picked on my entire life, and things will get better. It always gets better.
So because of the experiences that you've gone through, is it sort of a thing for you to give back to help other people who are struggling?
Yes. And I have a lot of compassion for people that are addicted to drugs and things like that, because that's a whole different type of psychology where it's a lot harder for them to quit those substances. Mm-hmm. And I want to get them from the lowest point of their life to something better.
And it seems like that something better right now is happening with you.
Yes.
You're at a high point in your life.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And so take another scenario really quickly. What if you could talk to your younger self? What advice would you give?
The younger me, yeah. I probably wouldn't have listened.
Why is that?
Before, I was a lot more bullheaded. I was one of those type of guys that I'm going to show you that I can do everything that you can do and better.
And now what's it like?
And then I got burned, and then I had to sit back. And now when I need to ask for help up a flight of stairs, I'm willing to ask. And it taught me humility on how to ask for help.
I bet that is quite humbling for you, but how have people received you in general?
In general, especially family, friends, they're happy to help. I always feel bad because I'm asking for help, but they're always happy to help.
Can I ask you why you feel bad for that?
Because I've always wanted to be self-sufficient, I guess.
Okay. Did you drive yourself here to my house?
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah, yeah. And I cook my own meals. Get to work on my own. I can do my job relatively on my own. On the heavy lifting stuff, I ask for help from coworkers, but once again, they're happy to help.
So Matt, driving, walking, getting around. Is there anything you can do?
For me, swimming is one of those things, not having the body fat, but that's okay with me because I start to get into water above chest height and I start to hyperventilate. So I'm okay with not ever swimming. So anything that I can't do, I just sweep off to the side and then start thinking of other things that I can do.
Wow, what a positive attitude. And if you were to put them on a scale, which one outweighs the other? Things you can do or things you can't do?
Things I can do at this point. When I got burned, At first, I didn't know what I could do, so I looked at everything as if I can't do this, I can't do this, and I can't do this. But then I got on the prosthetics and I started walking and I was like, wow, I really can. Mm-hmm. So when I'm out target shooting, going from the target back up to the berm, or not the berm, but the where you shoot, uneven ground, if I need help, I hold on to somebody's arm. But other than that, I really... very limited help is what I need. So,
you know, Matt, for almost all of the guests that I've had on this podcast, I've asked this question in one way or another. So I'd like to ask you, what is your philosophy of life?
I'm always going to make mistakes, but I will always learn from them.
How long have you had that philosophy?
Really young, I would say grade school.
And so... having a philosophy in life that it's okay to make mistakes as long as we learn from them and we try not to make the same mistakes. Mm-hmm. How does that feed into your happiness that you have right now? Because there's something about you that if my listeners were sitting here right now with us, they would be wanting to know the same thing because they can't see what I'm seeing right now. I'm seeing a 38-year-old man with a big smile on his face.
Ear to ear.
Ear to ear, despite... all of these trials that you've just talked about, how does that even work?
It was always easy for me to dig my heels in when I was right in the middle of the storm, but when the storm was all over and all the wreckage was there, it matters more what you do with everything after that.
So, for example?
I got burned. Yeah, it does suck, but is it the end of my life? No.
Absolutely not. In fact, could you even think that it might be a beginning of something different?
Yes. And if I hadn't have gotten burned, I wouldn't have gone down the avenue of wanting to be a psychologist. I never even would have thought of it.
Okay. And so everything that happened sort of instilled something mm-hmm. in you. What was that it instilled?
The desire to help people is the biggest thing.
Okay. Well, just the fact that you're talking in this podcast right now... and the people that will be listening to you, there's going to be somebody out there that needed to hear just what you had to say, don't you think?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, and I hope so too. And I actually believe that that's true. And in everything that you've gone through and the example that you are right now, that's what people need to see. The fact that things happened in grade school and the bullying and the burn and everything else, that's something that you can say helped to mold you to who you are mm-hmm. today. You could have decided to be a victim of all of that, and you didn't.
One thing that I remember down in Salt Lake when I was in the burn unit is I seen this girl that was in a car accident, and she had her own burns all on her right side, and she was mad at everything, at her situation, and she took her full bedpan and threw it at the nurses, and I seen it flying out the window, or out the door, and... right then and there, that's when I knew that I didn't want to be in that position, that I wanted to make something better. And the psychologist down there kept coming down and asking me, is everything okay? Are you feeling suicidal or anything like that? And I said, no, I'm just fine. I'm here.
You're here, considering the alternative.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't matter, you know, I guess I can't even really say this because I haven't been in your shoes. But for some people, it does matter how they look or what their body looks like. And your attitude is, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. And because you're here, now what? What's your future look like for you, my friend?
Going back to school, I think, mm-hmm. is the biggest. That's the next step, I think.
When will that happen, do you know?
I'm applying right now, Capella, and then I'm going to apply over at ISU as well, so...
fantastic. Yeah. Well, if you need a letter of reference, you make sure you come my way.
Okay, I will definitely.
Well, let me just personally say thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts and to let other people hear and feel of your spirit. What a wonderful opportunity. Thank you for sharing your story today and letting our listeners know a little bit more insight into your personal life and the struggles that you've had. I have this feeling that we need to do a sequel to this because there is more to your story that has to do with addictions and depression and some other things. Would you be willing to come back and be my guest again so that my listeners can listen to part two?
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. And to my listeners, remember to speak up, speak out, and speak often. Bye-bye.